سخنران امشب جلسه تهران AA که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی های گمنام در تهران است، خانم کارولین با هوشیاری 50 سال از کشور آمریکا می باشد و مترجم عزیزمون هم آقا علی هستند. موضوع جلسه امشب قدم 6 و 7 هستش. من میکروفون این دو عزیز رو باز میکنم و جلسه رو به ایشان میسپارم.
Hi, my name is Carolyn and I'm an alcoholic.
آقا علی ببخشید علامت سوالتون رو ریموف کنید. اگر علامت سوالتون باز بشه میکروفون خانم کارولین بسته میشه. بله من خودم باز کنم براتون. بله مرسی.
I'm an alcoholic and I very
just
much
a second.
Okay.
Hi Caroline, how are you?
Hi.
My name is Ali. I'm going to be your translator. This is a big honor for me. I'm honored to meet you.
I'm honored to be here.
All right, there you go.
All right. So you want to hear a little bit about my story?
Oh, definitely. I can't hear.
Okay.
I can't hear.
Okay.
All right. I can't wait any longer.
Okay. I came to AA when I was 27, and I had drank for about 10 years as a periodic drinker, which simply meant that I couldn't stop going back to drinking.
Okay. Let me translate that. ایشون میفهمند اسمشون کارولاینه و الکلی هستن. 50 سال هوشیار هستن. وقتی که 27 سالشون بوده اومده بودن به AA و از شبت به حضورتون حدود 10 سال داشتن مشروب میخوردن و نمیتونستن توقف کنن مشروب خوردنشون. There you go.
Okay, thank you. I started drinking when I was 17. Actually, I had my first drink before that, so I really started when I was 13. I grew up in a family that was the drinking was terrible, and it had a terrible effect on people. So I tried to escape from that. I didn't drink at home myself because I didn't feel safe to do that. There was a lot of anxiety with the drinking and the mainly threat of violence in the home. And so I had a lot of anxiety during my teenage years. And but I made a decision when I was 13. Well, all this was going on in my household that I would only drink for 10 years because I thought that if I limited it to 10 years, then I couldn't become an alcoholic.
All right, let me pass it on if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Good decision. میگه که من توی خانواده‌ای که بودم مشروب‌خور زیاد داشتن، با وضعیت خرابی توی خانواده بودیم و تو فامیل ما و تو احساس امنیت نمی‌کردم تو خونم، چون که مشروب‌خورای دیگه که تو خونه بودن احساس استراب و خشونت فراوانی بود. برای همین من توی 13-14 سالگی شروع کردم به مشروب خوردن خارج از خونه و اونجا تصمیم گرفتم که برای 10 سال مشروب بخورم و توی ذهن خودم گفتم که خب اگه من 10 سال مشروب بخورم هیچ وقت الکلی نمیشم، بعد از 10 سال دیگه مشروب نمیخورم. منم بهش گفتم عجب تصمیم خوبی گرفتی. All right, back to your decision.
Okay, but of course that didn't stop me from becoming an alcoholic. Actually, there was something wrong with that line of thinking. That I, you know, a sane person would have decided not to drink at all. I didn't even consider that an option. So I was in trouble, and I felt that I was in trouble with my drinking right away. It was too important to me, and I rarely drank at all without getting drunk. There were a few times, but the object of drinking was to really get out of my mind, you know, to go on a bender, and the object was to be drunk. So I really didn't have any time, I don't think, when I was a what we call a social drinker. I was always in trouble with alcohol.
Just a sec.
Yes.
Okay. میگه خلاصه اون یه تصمیم اشتباهی بود که من گرفتم تو سن 13 سالگی که برای 10 سال مشروب بخورم و دیگه نخورم. آدمای عادی یا از این تصمیما نمیگیرن، آدمای عادی تصمیم میگیرن که نخورن و من از وقتی که شروع کردم مشروب خوردن همش تو گرفتار و مشکلات عجیب غریب برای خودم به وجود می آوردم. من یه مشروب خور اجتماعی نبودم، از اینایی که ممکنه مثلا هفته دو تا درینک بخورن دیگه نخورن، و داستان من از همون اوائلش مشکل ساز شده بود. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I went to college for 4 years, and I was on scholastic probation almost all the time I was there. I was on the edge of flunking out all the time because I would. And at any opportunity, I would get drunk, and it was, you know, very disruptive, and I couldn't really concentrate on my studies, and I was just kind of in a disheveled state emotionally.
Just a sec. میفرماید که ما 4 سال میرفتم به کالج. منتها به خاطر اون مشروب خوری و رفتارهای عجیبی که داشتم همیشه توی لیست مشروط ها بودم توی که از کالج بنزنم بیرون، یا در وضعیت داشتم رد می شدم و رفوزه می شدم و خلاصه تمرکز درست حسابی رو درس خوندنم نداشتم و از نظر احساسی خراب بودم و مشروبم به من کمک میکرد که از خودم فرار کنم. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So when I got out of college, I got a pretty good job. I had been a theater major and stage scenery design, and I got a really good job at a theater in Provincetown, and I couldn't handle it, and so I just walked away from it. That's how I handled things. Instead of working through something and getting help with it and trying to succeed at it, I would just abandon it. And the people that I lived with were my friend basically threw me out because I wasn't paying my share of the rent, which was only $5 a week, but I still couldn't pay it.
Okay. میگه داستان به این صورت بود که وقتی که من از کالج دانشگاه فارغ التحصیل شدم، رشته تئاتر رو طراحی صحنه و اینجور چیزا رو خونده بودم و توی شهری به نام پروینس یه کاری به من داده شد که چون من مشروب میخوردم و خلاصه مست بودم از اونجا اخراجم کردم و من خیلی راحت کارو ول کردم به جای گرفتن کمک و مشورت و موفقیت موفق شدن در کارم حوصله نداشتم، فرار میکردم از کار کردن و کار به جایی کشید که دوستانم هم از همخونگیام هم من از اون آپارتمان انداختم بیرون با وجودی که پول زیادی نبود، 5 دلار در هفته دنگ من بود، اون هم نداشتم بدم، کارهای عجیب غریب میکردم، دوستانم هم من از اون خونه انداختم بیرون. Thank you.
I didn't have any money. I moved to Boston with some people. I didn't have any money. Somebody gave me the money to get a apartment, and I signed a lease for that. And I got this job in Boston selling dance lessons, but I didn't know how to dance, so I didn't do too well at that. And I made a decision. This was the summer of 66, and I made a decision, I think it was August 16th, to stop drinking. And so I stopped drinking, and there was another job that I lost during that summer. But I stopped drinking, and I ran out on that lease and moved back home because somebody broke it into, but just general unmanageability, just things going haywire and being broken. I had to ask my father to bail me out and send me a rental car, and it was always humiliating to ask him for anything because I blame my problems on him. So,
just a sec. که آپارتمان بگیرم، انداخته بودنم بیرون، یه جورایی خودم رسوندم به شهر باستون ماساچوست و آپارتمانی رهن کردم و یه پولی گرفتم از دوستام و اونجا شروع کردم یه کار فروش یه سری وسایل که برای رقص و اینا ارتباط داشت و چونی ولی اصلا خوب نبودم تو کارم، اون کارم هم از دست دادم تابستون 1966 توی ماه آگوست تصمیم گرفتم که دیگه مشروب نخورم چون اوضاع خیلی خراب شده بود و از پدرم کمک خواستم و چون رفتارم با پدرم هم خوب نبود خیلی خجالت میکشیدم چون که ایشون رو مقصر مشکلات خودم قلمداد می‌کردن. Yes, ma'am, back to you.
Okay, so I didn't have any money, and I moved back with my parents. I didn't drink for 6 months, and then I went. They were complaining that I wasn't giving them any money, so I found a job doing display windows in Syracuse, and my partner on the job said that he had a charge account at a bar on the south side, and so I, that was the end of it. See, I hadn't had a drink in 6 months, but we went to this bar, and I was sitting at the end of the bar, just a third of the way down a bottle of beer, and I said to myself, my God, at least I wasn't drinking. So I knew it was a mistake right away. But that didn't mean that I could get up and walk out of the bar. I said, well, I'd already started now. So I went on a bender for about 6 weeks and or more, I can't remember. And I went bankrupt during that time because of the mess that I had left in Boston, and ended up living with people I didn't know. And so on Palm Sunday of 67 it was, I was in this apartment with some people I met in a bar, and I sat on the edge of my bed that morning, and I decided I should go home and get some clothes. I hadn't changed my clothes in a couple of weeks, and so I went home to do that, and I ran into a confrontation there with a friend of the family. I ended up calling for some help from somebody, and a professional person, and I stopped drinking on that day, and I didn't drink again for another 3 years. I'll let you translate that.
All right.
That's a lot.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. میگه خلاصه من مشروب نخوردم، رفتم پلو والدینم زندگی کردم. 6 ماه گذشته بود که با اونا زندگی میکردم ولی پولی نداشتم، به قول معروف که به اونها هم، یعنی در حقیقت سنت 7 خودم رو نمیتونستم توی خونه رعایت کنم. مجبور شدم برم یه شهر دیگه به نام سیراکیوس که یه کار جدیدی رو شروع کردم. بعد از 6 ماه رفته بودم با یکی از دوستانمون توی بار و اونجا یه آبجوی خوردم، یه جورایی شروع کردم به خودم گول زدن و مشروبه رو خوردم، خلاصه لغزش کردم. یه چیزی حدود 6 هفته شادم بیشتر این مشروب خوری عجیب غریب و من لغزش من ادامه داشت، وضعیتم خیلی خراب شد، خیلی خراب شد و توی 1967 بود با اون آدم هایی که توی بار دیده بودم و نمیشناختمشون داشتم یه جورای زندگی میکردم که اسمش رو میشه گذاشت زندگی. لب تختم نشسته بودم، 2 هفته بود که لباسم رو نشسته بودم و تصمیم گرفتم برم خونه جوش بگیرم برگردم پدر مادرم رو. توی منزل با یکی از دوستای خانوادگیم آشنا شدم و از شبت به حضور شما دعوامون شد. دعوای شدیدی با این دوستمون داشتم و خلاصه زنگ زدم و کمک خواستم، کمک حرفه‌ای خواستم از یک کسی و اون موقع کمک به من شد و من 3 سال دیگه هوشیار بودم. Alright, 3 years of sobriety and then what?
Well, it wasn't really sobriety. It was 3 years of not drinking, and I was pretty miserable. I got involved in a terrible relationship, and when that was over, I went back to drinking again, and then depression was a major thing with my drinking. After that, I was terribly depressed. I got no relief from my drinking at all from that time. That was the last time I went back to drinking, and there was no relief to it. It was just depression. The drinking made the depression worse. Before I had been a barroom drinker and I'd go on these binges, and there was some relief to it, but this last time I went back to drinking, it was just nothing but depression, and I had no idea. I got some professional help, but I didn't have any idea how I was going to get out of it, or I just was lost, basically. And at that time, I had mentioned to you that both of my parents had problems related to alcoholism, and they at this time when I was so depressed, that came to a conclusion too. My father died, and my mother had almost died. She died a little bit later, but so it was a terrible time for my family. And then something good happened. I'll let you translate that, and then I'll bring it to a better spot.
All right, muchas gracias. All right, میگه خلاصه سه سال مشروب‌خوری خشک داشتم، یعنی هوشیاری خشک. خدا نصیب گرگی بیابون نکنه. این کامنت خود بنده بود. سه سال خشک بود، روابط خراب داشتم، قدم کار نمی کردم و بعد از سه سال از دور رفتم مشروب خوری، مشروب می خوردم و افسردگی بسیار شدیدی گرفتم و داستان این بود که مشروب هم دیگه کمک نمی کرد و وضعیت رو خرابتر می کرد، مستی هم درد من رو دیگه دوا نمی کرد، کمک های حرفه‌ای که از بیرون می گرفتم از دکترها هم کمک نمی کرد، سردرگم شده بودن و والدین خودم، پدر و مادرم که با الکلیسم مشکل داشتند در این اوضاع بدتر و بدتر شد و در این حالت افسردگی که من داشتم پدرم فوت کرد، مادرم هم مدتی بعد فوت کرد و افسردگی من تشدید شد، مشروب خوری هم جواب نمیداد. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So now, after that tragedy with my father drinking, I moved up north of here. I moved to where my brother was, up in a small city in New York called Watertown. Okay, and I hadn't had a drink at this time in a year and 3 months on my own. And I was in this ice cream parlor, actually. I took my mother out of a convalescent home and sitting there and I'm listening to this record, and I don't know that you would know it, but it was called Sunday Morning Coming Down, and it kind of glamorized throwing life away by drinking, and it appealed to me. So a year and 3 months after I had stopped drinking, and I'm sitting there, my mother is almost dead from cirrhosis. My father had just died 3 months before, and I get the idea that I'm going to go back to drinking. That seemed like a good idea. So that, I think that was a Wednesday night, and on Saturday I headed for a bar, and the thought came to me to call AA. I had had some contact with AA. I had been to a half a dozen meetings, but it didn't really stick. And so I followed that thought because I had laid on my floor weeks before that, my room, just praying desperately for help, and I think that thought to go to AA came from that prayer. Anyway, that night I ended up at an AA meeting. I remember it pretty well. It was July 10th, 1971, and it was enough to get me to come back a couple nights later, and then it clicked into place, and I met somebody who was 16 years sober, and he stayed and talked to me after the meeting for 3 hours, and he talked a lot about a day at a time, and I thought that was ridiculous because I could go these long periods of time without drinking. So I thought, what difference was that make to do it a day at a time? But because he was 16 years sober and I knew I didn't have the answer, I started to believe him. And he also told me that I needed a higher power. And I thought I was religious, but that wasn't working. So I decided to do what he said, which was to ask every morning for this higher power to help me not drink and thank it at night. And I started doing that, and I started going to meetings every day.
All right. That's lots of ground to cover. Just a second.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. خلاصه بعد از تراژدی پدرم رفتم به یک شهری در شمال نیویورک به نام واتر تاون. یک سال و سه ماه دیگه مشروب نخورده بودم با اراده شخصی خودم و تصمیم گرفته بودم که مشروب نخورم. ولی یه روزی نمیدونم شنبه ای بود به یه آهنگ گوش میکردم، پدرم سه چهار ماه پیشش فوت کرده بود، مادرم سیروز کبدی داشت و یه آهنگی داشتم گوش میکردم، یه فکر قشنگی اومد تو ذهنم که برم مشروب بخورم حالا که اینطوریه، و رفتم بار و خواستم این کارو بکنم. منتها یه فکر دیگه اومد تو ذهنم که به AA تلفن بزنم، چون یه هفته قبلش رو زمین افتاده بودم، از خدا کمک خواسته بودم که خدایا کمکم کن و دعا کرده بودم. و این سال 1971 بود که من این دعا رو کرده بودم، چون که 5-6 دفعه رفته بودم جلسات AA و خلاصه رفتم یه جلسه ای که بعد از جلسه یه نفر که 16 سال بود هوشیار بود اومد به من کمک کرد و با ساد 3 ساعت با من صحبت کرد در مورد AA. یادم میاد که در مورد اینکه 24 ساعت فقط برای امروز، یک روز ما هوشیار میمونیم، برای من صحبت کرد. من اونم پرو خودم فکر کردم که این چقدر مسخره است که این صحبت ایده 24 ساعت. ولی که دیدم خب این شخص 16 ساله که هوشیاره و من هوشیار نیستم، پس قبول کردم. بعد اون شخص نیروی برتری رو به من معرفی کرد و من تا اون موقع فکر کردم خیلی هم آدم مذهبی مشتی هستم، ولی که گفتش که فرق نمی کنه که تو مذهبی هستی یا نه، از این نیروی برتره هر روز صبح تقاضای حمایت و کمک بکن. و گفتم خب این کار هم میتونم بکنم و هر روز صبح از اون خواستم که به من کمک بکنه، از نیروی برتری که نمیدونستم چیه، که منو هوشیار نگه داره برای یک روز و برای 24 ساعت. Back to you.
Okay. All right. So I haven't had a drink since that day. That was July 12th, 1971. And during those times when I wasn't drinking, I was very unhappy during those times. And toward the end, I was extremely depressed. But as soon as I got to AA, then I had a whole new set of resources. I had friends, people seemed to think I was valuable. I mean, I don't know. I can think of an expression we would say here, but I'm not sure I should say it. But I couldn't have been lower. But when I did not have a friend when I came to AA, so everything was on the upside for me once I got to AA, and I was going to meetings every day, and they gave me the keys to open up the meetings, and I think I had 3 sets of keys to churches at one time in my pocket, and I just threw myself into this, and it's worked for me. I've had, you know, a lot of different experiences since I've been sober, and some of them have been difficult, but AA has given me a way to work through things, largely because of this dependence on a higher power, but also because of the fellowship, because I have all this support from other people in the program. And I could feel right away after I got here that just by walking into the room, I could feel myself being restored to sanity just by being here. I'll let you catch up with it. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'll try. What? I'm making short. No problem. I'm making shorthand. Okay. And میگه میفرمایند که جولای 12 جولای 1971 من وارد AA شدم. آدم ناراحت، غمگین، افسرده، مچاله شده و ته خط رسیده بودم. منتها نمیدونم چه اتفاقی افتاد. وارد AA که شدم دوستان بسیار زیادی پیدا کردم. به قول خودمون دوستان جانی پیدا کردم که به من اهمیت میدادن، منو دوست داشتن و کلید جلسات به من دادن، اطمینان به من کردن، کمکم کردن. تجارب بسیار زیادی توی این 50 سال داشتم. AA توی بالا پایینای زندگی به من کمک کرده و به خاطر کمکی که از نیروی برتر و دوستان AA گرفتم تونستم به اینا متکی باشم و خیلی زود هم فهمیدم که وقتی من وارد این جلسات میشم یه اتفاقی میفته و اون دیوانگی ها و افکار خراب من تبدیل به سلامت عقل میشه و این اتفاق هنوز هم در جلسات AA برای من بعد از 50 سال داره میفته. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. And I just want to say, I know I'm supposed to start talking about the steps, but I just want to give you just a little bit of idea of how my life opened up after coming to AA. And, you know, I had trouble holding jobs when I was drinking, but I had I'm currently working now, even though I'm 77 and I've been working for this particular employer for 17 years. And before that, I worked for a furniture manufacturer for 24 years planning their production. So I did learn how to hold a job after I got to AA. But also, I found out what I love to do after I got here. I found out that I loved sailing. So I took up sailing. I took sailing courses on the coast of New England, and I learned how to sail by myself because there's a real lot of drinking on sailboats. And I didn't want to be under that pressure. So I learned how to sail myself, and I sailed quite a bit off the south coast of New England, and I timed the harbors where there were meetings I could get to, and that was a really wonderful time of my life. Also, I did quite a bit of traveling in Italy, and I found out where the meetings were, and that made it, because I would travel alone, it made it possible for me to travel alone because I could go to meetings and feel connected with people. Did you want to translate that, Ali?
Sure. Go into the show. Sure thing, Caroline. میگه یکی از اتفاقات زیبایی که برای من افتاد و میتونم در موردش صحبت کنم اینه که من قبل از اینکه وارد AA بشم، همونطور که گفتم، نمیتونستم کاری انجام بدم و شغلی رو نگه دارم و الان با وجود که 17 سال میگم 77 سالمه، 17 ساله که برای یک نفر دارم کار میکنم. خیلی هم راضی هستن از من و من از اونا. قبلش هم 24 سال برای یه کارخونه مبلمان کار میکردم و اونا هم بسیار تا بسیار رابطه خوبی باشون داشتم. AA به من نشون داد که راه هم رو پیدا کنم تو زندگی. یکی از چیزایی که خیلی دوست داشتم قبلا این بود که قایقرانی رو با بادبان تجربه کنم. بهش میگن سیلینگ و خیلی دوست داشتم با این بادبونا بتونم تنهایی کشتی رو هدایت بکنم و این کار رو خیلی علاقه‌ام بود، رفتم دنبالش، خیلی سرگرمی خوبی بود، به من خیلی کمک میکرد، جاهای مختلفی رفتم. و یکی دیگه از کارهایی که کردم این بود که به کشورهای دیگه رفتم، به ایتالیا رفتم، اونجا جلسات رفتم، توی جلسات اونجا هر جا که میرفتم کشورهای مختلف جلساتش رو هم پیدا میکردم و احساس به تعلقی که من به ای دارم در تمام دنیا و کشورهای مختلف وجود داره. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. There were difficult times. I just want to mention this, where I lost things didn't go my way, and I lost situations that were important to me. And I, you know, a couple of times I've had some periods of grief in my sobriety, but I've been able to work through it, and I've been better off on the other side because my life opened up in other ways. So I just wanted to mention that. It is important because before I got to AA, I didn't know how to work through anything, you know, and get to the other side. But NAA, you know, even if things don't go my way, I've been able to not only survive, but end up better off in the long run.
All right.
Now,
آره، لازم به توضیح که همیشه همه چیز بر وفق مراد نبوده. من روزهای سختی هم داشتم که اوضاع اونطوری که من میخواستم نبوده، از دست دادن عزیزانم مثلا بوده، و این خیلی مهمه که من یاد گرفتم که وقتی که اوضاع خراب میشه با دیگران صحبت بکنم و راهمو پیدا بکنم. قبل از ورود به AA من بلد نبودم که چطوری راه خودم رو تشخیص بدم و راهم رو توی اوضاع سخت و اوضاع بیریخت زندگی پیدا بکنم و از اون برش هوشیار بیرون بیام و احساس خوبی هم داشته باشم. توی AA یاد گرفتم که چطوری این کارها رو انجام بدم. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'm supposed to talk about the sixth step, which is the shortest step, I think, referenced in the big book, but I was told that I could maybe start at the fourth. And the fourth step, for me, at first I thought I had done it because before coming to AA, I had talked to so many professional people, but I realized after I was here for a while that the fourth step is very, very important because it's me being honest with myself and writing things down and kind of what we calling a spade a spade. I mean, being honest. To not deceive myself, I write things down. Like, you know, if something bothers me, I ask myself, why does this bother me so much? And I write for a while until I can recognize it. And that's a continuing practice, but it starts with the fourth step. Being honest with myself starts with the fourth step.
All right. میگه قدم چهار، قرار من امشب در مورد قدم ششم صحبت کنم، ولی وقتی میخوایم در مورد قدم ششم صحبت کنیم حتما باید یه سری بزنیم به قدم چهارم. و اون چیزیه که من فکر میکردم که من قدم چهارم رو انجام دادم، مخصوصا با اون آدم های حرفه‌ای که قبلا باشون کار میکردم، منتها بعد از این مدتی که تو AA بودم دیدم که مهمترین چیزیه که توی قدم چهار وجود داره اینی که من با خودم صادق باشم، با خودم صادق باشم و شهامت داشته باشم که با خودم روبرو باشم و دیگه خودم رو گول نزنم. از خودم بپرسم چرا ناراحت هستم، چه چیزی ناراحتم میکنه و اونها رو تمرین بکنم. و این کارهایی که ادامه دار هستش. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The fifth step, this opening up to another person, and the step does say to another human being. It doesn't have to be a particular person, and but it is very important to be open to somebody. And I early on, I did that. I took this fourth step that I had done, written out, and I took it to somebody and read it to them and gave it to them so I didn't miss anything because I wanted to make sure I had done this. But that was a long time ago, and I have to continually, you know, I can't, how does the 12 and 12 says, we had to quit the deadly business of living alone with our conflicts. That's in the 12 and 12 in the 12th chapter.
Say that one more time.
We had to quit the deadly business of living alone with our conflicts.
Okay.
That's right out of the 12 and 12. I don't have it in front of me, but...
Okay, should I?
So that's why it's important to be continually practicing the fifth step for me and to have people in my life that I feel that I can confide in.
All right, perfect. می فرمایند که حالا که قرار شد بود من خودم رو گول نزنم و همونطور که قدم چهار میگه من با یک انسان دیگه بهتر کاملا صادق باشم به غیر از خودم و خیلی مهم هست که با این انسان کاملا باز باشم و در میان بذارم تمام اون مشنونات خودمو. ولی خب این خیلی وقت پیش بود و الان باید خدمتون عرض بکنم که حالا قدم چهارا و قدم های چهار و بعد بقیه رو من چطوری امروز با خودم تمرین میکنم و داستان به این صورتی که همونطور که تو 12-12 هم میگه باید از درگیری های خودم که در درونم هست و با به نظر میرسه با دیگران هست جدا بشم و دیگه با خودم و با دیگران در درونم درگیر نباشم که حال بدیام کمتر بشه. Alright.
Okay. And the sixth step, becoming entirely willing to have God remove these defects of character. That's really kind of a process. It happens over time. I can want to be willing and not quite be willing. But usually it takes some disappointment in myself or something that was caused by one of my defects that I regretted. And to be entirely ready to have God remove that, but it's a process. But I think that there is a great opportunity after taking the fifth step, after we've talked to somebody about all this stuff, there seems to be some willingness then. It's like an opportunity, you know, to go on to the seventh step and ask God to remove them. And that's the way the Big Book talks about it, actually. They talk about going home after taking your fifth step, and for an hour, they say, you know, review it and ask God to remove these defects of character. So I think there's a time of opportunity after taking the fifth step when we have a willingness to let some of this go. But other things, it takes longer, and it is a longer process. But I think it's very important, and I think they're telling us in the 12 and 12, it is very important to maintain a willingness to give up the things that don't work in our lives or maybe hurting somebody else. That's all.
Just a sec. حالا میگه در مورد تیتر قدم 6 که ما کاملا آماده شدیم یا کاملا آماده بودیم که خداوند تمام نواقص شخصیتی ما رو مرتفع یا برطرف کنه. این یک فرایند، یک پروسه هست که تمایل میخواد و انضباط میخواد و یک موقعیت بسیار خوبی که به ما داده میشه درست بعد از قدم 5 هست که در اون موقعیتی که انسان تمام اینها رو میپذیره در بعد از قدم 5 دقیقا تو اون موقعیت یک ساعتی به ما وقت داده میشه. تو کتاب داره بهش میگه اشاره میکنه که تو اون یک ساعت من برم از خودم بپرسم که چه کارهایی رو کردم و آیا الان آماده هستم که اون چیزهایی رو که خودم پذیرفتم مشکل هست خداوند برطرف بکنه. آیا با فروتنی از خدا میخوام، قدم 7 داره میگه که این چیزهایی رو که نواقص من بودن و خودم اونا رو پذیرفتم خداوند از من بگیره. و جالبش بیاین که اون یک ساعت یا اون حالتی رو که بعد از خوندن قدم 5 به وجود میاد رو ما یادمون نره. و ضمن این که توی 12-12 توی کتاب 12-12 هم به این اشاره میکنه که تمایل داشتن در تمام و ادامه داشتن این تمایل برای برطرف کردن نواقص شخصیتی مهمه و ما باید اون حالت تمایل رو تو این فرایند بهبودی نگه داریم. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just want to jump just to say a few words about the 11th step, because the 11th step has always given me a sense of there being something good ahead of me, because when I came in to AA, I all I could do for is my concept of the future was I would project my past into the future. So it was depressing because I was very depressed in my past, but I didn't have a good vision of the future at all. So I tried to use the fourth step or the 11th step early on in the program, and I do continually because that's where I get my sense of I don't want to call it optimism, but my sense of hope, of my sense of there being something good to go to. It that's where the serenity comes from. And so the practice of the 11th step is very important to me, and it's important to improve it. And I think I'm pretty much at the end. I have a little article here. This is from The Grapevine, which is a magazine. It's an AA magazine, and this goes back to 1977, and
just
I've read it.
Just, Caroline, please let me catch up with you, all right?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Hold that thought for a second. میگه الان خواهش میکنم توجه بکنید علل خصوص برای تازه واردها که ما یا ایشون وقتی که تازه اومده بوده هیچ گونه چشم‌اندازی نسبت به آینده خودش و اتفاقات خوبی که ممکنه توی برنامه AA بیفته نداشته. به خاطر اون گذشته نابسامانی که داشته تفکرات قدیمیش رو فکر میکرده تو آینده اتفاق میفته و این احساس خوب وجود نداشته. ولی با تمرین کردن قدم 11 و تمرین کردن اینکه اتفاقات خوبی به خواست خداوند در زندگی آدم میفته و تمرین کردن قدم 11 چشم‌اندازهای ایشون میگه بسیار عوض شد و یک حس امید، یک حس خوب بودن، یک حس هوشیاری، یک حس آگاهی به ایشون دست میداد و میگه تمرین قدم 11 بسیار تا بسیار به رشد معنوی بنده کمک کرد. نه اینکه بخوام خیلی همین تمرین قدم 11 بسیار تا بسیار به رشد معنوی من کمک کرد و ایشون میخوان در مورد یک نوشته ای توی کتاب توی مجله گریپ واین اشاره بفرمایید. Back to Grape Wine.
Okay, thank you. Just one, I'm going to read one little paragraph here. It says, this is from an article called Freedom of Choice. Okay. It says, today I am released and free in sobriety to know and believe that through the living of the 12 steps, I am no longer sentenced to a life of woe-me-ism and gloom and doom. And for that, I thank God, I thank AA, and I thank me. And that was written by somebody in Queens, New York, back in 1977. I love that.
Through the practice of the 12 steps, I don't have to, I didn't catch the last part.
I don't have to live a life of woe-me-ism and doom and gloom.
I got it. This was okay. In 1967, huh?
1977. And for that,
all right.
And for that, I thank God, I thank AA, and I thank me.
As خداوند خودم و AA متشکرم. Okay, I got it. این یک آرتیکل یه پاراگرافی از یک مجله در سال 1977 مجله گریپ واین که میگه امروز من آزادی انتخاب دارم، آزادی هم آزاد هستم هم هوشیار هستم به خاطر انتخابایی که دارم میکنم و به خاطر انجام قدمهای 12 گانه مجبور نیستم که زندگی همراه با بدبختی، تنهایی و افسردگی ادامه بدم و برای این آزادی انتخاب از خداوند، از AA و از خودم بسیار تا بسیار متشکر هستم. I did it, Caroline.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me be with you today. It's awesome. It's wonderful to be with
you. It's an honor.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you, ma'am. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Lovely to have you on board. Okie dokie.
I will send you more. Bye.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. دوستان تموم شده. و ایشون تشکر کردن، ما از ایشون تشکر کردیم و در خدمت شما هستن دوستان خدمتگزار.